Okay, we have a couple prayer requests for this morning. First one is pray for the family of Jan Riggs Cloyd, who went to her heavenly home. She was raised in Cheyenne by the Bradshaw family. And then our dear friend Mandy Wagner asked for prayers. Here's these, and I got one more that just came in on Facebook, and I'm going to have to write it down.
Okay. So, Father, we just lift up the family of Jan Riggs Cloy. And, Father, we just thank you that even in these moments of loss, Father, you are our comfort. And those, again, are truths that we can hold on for your word, in your word, God. So we just thank you that, yes, we go through grief. We go through the grief process, but we don't go through it alone. So we thank you that you're just going to bring comfort to this family. And even in these times, Father, I know a lot of times family don't even see each other until someone passes. So I just ask that the time that they come together as family would be blessed. Father, that relationships would be rekindled and strengthened. And Father, I just thank you again for your peace in these moments. And Father, for Mandy Wagner, whatever's going on there, Father, you know all the details. So we just ask that you would move in a supernatural way in her life to bring about your will and your purpose. In Jesus' name.
I didn't have time to write them down.
Just pray for it.
Yeah. Okay. Pray for Sharon, who was diagnosed with rectal cancer. Pray for Mary to find an apartment. And then Mignon has a praise report. Her closet got fixed. I read that right? I'll give you my phone so you can use my phone to
okay.
do the prayer. Oh.
Yeah, she said closet got fixed.
Ah, we got it together. we don't, but God does, and that's what matters, y'all.
All right. So I'm going to interject right here. I want to tell you guys a praise testimony, just as an encouragement in this moment. So I have an aunt and uncle in Oregon, and they have a friend that just this last week. So they came in on Friday, and she had stage 4 cancer. And at that moment, we all know stage 4 in the natural. Again, what we've been talking about. That's a very discouraging moment. That's the voice of the enemy, right, speaking. On Friday, they went in and they had prayer over her. She had to be helped up. She was in a wheelchair. She had to be physically helped up out of that wheelchair because she couldn't even stand on her own. On Monday morning, after they prayed for her, she was running and jumping. Running and jumping.
Wow.
And they haven't went back to the doctor, but we know what's going to happen there. We know it because there was such a manifestation in the physical immediately over just a 2 or 3 day period that it completely changed her life. And we're waiting for the doctor's report to say clean and clear. So I'm here to tell you guys, God is the answer of prayers. God is still a healer today. And that's one of the things is we're going back and we're looking at the power of God and who he is. It hasn't changed. So Father, in that, Father, I thank you that cancer isn't bigger than you. And so it doesn't matter where it's at in our body. We pray right now for Sharon that it would just be healed in Jesus' name, completely fixed and whole. And Father, you're a provider. We see this again in the story we're reading. So Father, no matter what our need is, there's a need for an apartment here. Father, we just ask for it. And if it's not an apartment, it's something better, we ask for that. Whatever you have, Father, we just ask that there would be a place where they could stay. And Father, we thank you for the praise reports.
Those are the best.
Yes.
See. And so, Father, we just thank you that you care. You care for each and every one of us, that you are our God. And Father, we put our faith and our trust in you in Jesus' name.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue right here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing all that to my remembrance. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We hope.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Jason Mung. Back to you, sir.
All right. So Numbers 14, still in there. We're going to go down to 31. So you remember we talked about when Moses reminded God what he said. Again, this is such a place for us to realize we are accountable for the words that come out of our mouth. So let's be careful. Let's make sure that in the moments when discouragement tries to show up, we don't speak from that place. Mm-hmm. So in Numbers 14 and 31, this is actually, he says, you said your children would be carried off as plunder. He's reminding them of what they said. Well, I will bring them safely into the land, and they will enjoy what you have despised. So God reminded them again of what they said. And again, this is such a place that we need to realize it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what attitude that's showing up and I'm letting function in my life at that moment. I must keep my tongue in check, mm-hmm. right? Because there will be things that I say and do in those moments. And we all realize that. How many times have we went back and say, I didn't mean to say that. I shouldn't have said that, right? But let's walk in maturity in Christ and know if God says something, I'm going to hold on to that. And no matter what shows up, I'm not going to find myself falling off into the voice of complaint or into the voice of rebellion or whatever that is where I'm starting to speak things. Because God reminds them here, this is what you said. And because of what you said, this is what you're going to get in your life. You're going to bear the fruit of that seed that you planted with your mouth. And because of that, God said, you said your children were going to be carried off as plunder. But guess what? I'm going to make sure that they walk safely into this. I am going to fulfill what I said because they were children. These were the adults that were walking in the disobedience and not believing what God said. But he said, these children, they are going to experience this land of milk and honey. He is still going to fulfill what he promised, right? He's not going to let that go. So now we're going to jump over to Joshua real quick. And I just want to bring this one little point out and then we're going to shift gears. So Joshua 2. I'm going to read 1 through 8, or verse 1 and 8, actually, just for time's sake. So you remember back when the 12 spies went in, we just covered this, the 12 spies went in, 2 of them came back with a good report, and 10 of them were like, we can't do this, they're going to whoop us. And at the end of that, I told you to remember this line. It said, we are like grasshoppers to them, and they think so too, right? So now I want you to catch this. We read over here in the book of Joshua, in chapter 2 and verse 1. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp to the Acacia Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. So now we're going to jump down to verse 8. And it says, before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up to the roof to talk to them. This is Rahab's reply. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We are afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord has made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, and the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people were completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things, for the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. So these 10 spies came back and they said, we're like grasshoppers, and they think so too. Mm. That was a lie. That was a lie of the enemy. The enemy was trying to come in and plant, because what did they think? This is what they thought. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in this land is living in terror because we see that God fights on your behalf, right? Again, the enemy is going to try to come in and he's going to try to sneak this business in that is not the truth of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That is why you must hold firm to the truth of the Word of God. And I know we jumped a big part of the story because Moses has already passed away. Joshua is now moving in leadership. But this is the continuation of the story because, as I just mentioned, 40 years had to pass for this Israelite people that were alive as adults to die in the wilderness. They had to die. They did not get to walk into the promised land, but God was still going to fulfill the promise that he had made to his children, and he was going to walk into there. And even because of Moses' disobedience, as you read through, he didn't get to partake in that as well. So he ended up passing away. Joshua is now installed as the new leadership, and he is going to lead now those that were under 20. He is now going to lead them into the land. And we see here the enemy lied, and they bought the lie, and then they spoke the lie, right? Mm-hmm. And that stirred up discord, that stirred up disbelief among the other brothers and sisters in that moment. Let's not do that. Let's make sure that we're only speaking what God has to say, whether that be from a word to us or from his scripture, or both. Speak the words of God that he's spoken through his scripture. This is where we live from. This is how we're going to do this, because God is faithful. And I love what she says at the very end of that in verse 11. She says, for the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. That is your God. I don't care what circumstance you're going through. I don't care what's happening in your life. I don't care how heavy it feels in this moment. God is going to pull through for you. Make sure that you come into agreement with that and know, God, this is what you say according to your word. Remind God of his words, just as we see Moses did. If there's a scripture in here, those are made for you to stand on. Lord, your word says that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So I thank you, Father, that anxiety, fear, and worry has no place in my life right now, because that's not the spirit that you have given me. Those are how we pray. Those are how we speak to God. Prayer has been morphed into this thing that we want to treat God like a genie in a bottle. Mm-hmm. God, this is what I want. God, this is what I need. God, this is what I need you to do. That's not who God is. God is not a genie in a bottle just waiting to fulfill our request. God has spoken his will and his purpose for our life. And as we come into agreement, and as his word says, as we align, right, as we align our hearts with his, and then we ask God for those things, guess what? You're going to get them. Mm-hmm. Those things are going to come because you're aligned with his will and his purpose. And he says, you have not because you ask not. God does want to fulfill the desires of your heart. As a matter of fact, realize God is the one that gives you those desires, mm-hmm. right? He's your creator. You're the clay. You're not the potter. You're the clay. Those desires were given to you for a reason. But your heart has to be in alignment properly under God to say, okay, in this place now I'm asking you for this in my life because I see it's according to your will and your purpose. And guess what? That's the moment when he says, if you do that, this mountain, it'll move. That's how big our God is. And even I know in growing up in the American Christian church, I have not seen God as that. And that's something God has been reminding me, going back into the old scriptures and the old texts and these old stories, the power of God. God came down. God rained food. God brought quail. God supplied them in moments of need for their life, right? God is the same today. He has not changed. And if there is a place in my life where I'm lacking, I'm in need, God will fulfill. God will supply that need as long as I never, ever listen to the voice of the enemy or sometimes even my own ignorance. And I use that word meaning lack of understanding. That's what ignorance is. It's a lack of understanding. And how do you understand? Get into the Word of God. Because this will bring you, this will make you smarter than any person you've ever been. You know, it's amazing to me. I even see people, I've got a really good friend of mine, and he struggled in school. There was all these things that happened in his life that just, he just had a bad shake when it came to it. But when you talk to him about the things of God and who he is in Christ and maturity, it's like the guy's got a PhD in biblical knowledge. You know, it's like in the natural sense, he's just kind of a common guy, you know. But on the other side of that, it's like, dude, that's the truth of God's word. Like, you've got this. Hold on to that and keep moving in that. Like, don't doubt who you are, because God made you exactly who you are. And just walk in that. Walk in the deliverance, as we've named this today, that God has provided for you. So now we've talked about a lot of the things. We've looked at their life and what they've done. We're going to learn from some of their mistakes, right? We're going to say we're not going to do that. We see through these stories what this brought about, so we're not going to do that. But now I want to kind of change gears, and I want to start looking at what are we going to do? How are we going to move forward? How are we going to remain in focus on these things? I want to point out these. So from there, let's go into Philippians 2 and 13. So this scripture says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire," did I not just mention that, "and the power to do what pleases him." The desires that are in your heart, they come from God. There's a reason for those. And I'm even here to say, some of those desires will be way bigger than you. They will be so much bigger than anything you would have ever thought or imagined, as his word says. But God gives you that desire. Why? Because he's calling you into places you never thought you could go. But with God, you can, as we see in this story that we've just read. With God, you will go places you never seen you could make it, right? It's God that's working in you, giving you this desire. And not just the desire, but what? The power. The power in that to do what pleases him. Philippians 4 and 6. We're going to jump over just a couple. What does he instruct us to do? In these life moments, in these circumstances, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then what does verse 7 say? This is what's going to happen when you do that. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. This is a refocusing. This is a shifting from that old mindset where, all that depression, fear, anxiety, worry, all of those things that we have labeled and now have become rampant in society today. Like, that's the contrast to the story of the old. These people, God said, this is the truth, but they didn't grab a hold to walk in that truth. We can look that forward now. Let's bring that forward, these thousands of years into our life. Does it look different? Absolutely. We don't live in the same time. We don't have the same issues that they have. But you know what? It's the same demons. It's the same voice of the enemy, because he's the same one too. Mm-hmm. He has no new tricks. He's still off a cut-off, withering branch, come to nothing. That's who he still is. And God is encouraging us today in this place. These are the things that you need to do. And these need to be the anchors for your soul. Get into the Word and get these scriptures. And as I pull these out today, highlight these in your Word. Go back to these. If there's a place where fear or worry or anxiety is coming in, go back to these places and say, God, this is what you said. Remind God of his word in your prayer time with him, when you're talking with him. God, this is what you said. And then what does it say? And thank him. So in that moment, this is what my prayers sound like. God, this is what's going on in my life, but I thank you. You have brought me through this. You brought me through that. You continue to walk in peace in my life. You are my strength. Thank you that you are my power. As Paul instructs us in the New Testament there, it says, in everything that we do, give thanksgiving, right? Mm-hmm. It shifts your mindset. Because some people, when you start telling them, they're like, that don't make sense, dude. Like, I'm here because I have a problem. I know. So be thankful. Be thankful even over the problem. And guess what? It will take your mind off of the problem and it will shift your mindset. And that's what we're instructed through the word, through the renewal of our mind. That's it. That's the picture of the renewal of your mind. Even though life is showing up, continue to speak the truths of what God has given you. And it will shift your mindset from focusing on the things that are besetting you, and it puts it into the place of I trust. I trust in God. I'm going to apply the faith that he's given me, and we're going to walk this out. Why? Because he goes before me. He has already won these battles that are ahead of me in this place. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. Again, thankfulness. Let's just do 16, 17, 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And this is the second time it's mentioned, for you who belong to Christ Jesus, right? Maybe there's somebody out here today that's hearing this message for the first time. You don't belong to Christ Jesus. You're walking in fear and worry and anxiety and depression. Those things in the natural are overwhelming your life. It's for those who belong to Christ Jesus that all these things that we're talking about, the promises of God, belong to. All you have to do is give your life to him. You just have to give your life to Christ Jesus, and this can then become your promise too. Mm-hmm. Psalm 145 and 13. I told y'all I was jumping around a lot today. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts up those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all who look to you in hope, you will give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. And one more, the Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. We see this as a regurgitation of the truth that God provided way back in the story of Exodus, right? Like, this is who God is. And it doesn't matter. What I love about this is it doesn't matter if it was thousands of years ago in that situation or if it's today in your life. This is who God is. He always keeps his promises. He always lifts up those who are bent beneath the load. He always gives hope. He always provides food. He will, when you open your hand, he will satisfy your hunger, your thirst. He is righteous in everything he's done. He's filled with kindness. Sometimes when life gets heavy, when life comes at us, we start to point fingers at God and we want to start blaming him. You could do this. You could do that. You should do this. You should do that. God responds to faith. That's who God is. He is empowered in that moment in your life through your faith as you say yes, as you trust. Again, the story we just read. What did you see when they fall off into the voice of complaint and unthankfulness and griping and all of those things? You see that they will bear the seed of that in their life. And as we move forward, we must also realize we will bear the seed in our life. Do not let go of the promises of God, because they are all throughout Scripture. It is through your faith, through your words that you speak. God, I don't care what I'm going through. God, I don't care what I see. God, I don't care what I feel. I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you are kind. I thank you that you will supply every need according to your riches and your glory. That's how we remain in focus and in agreement with God. Because I'm here to tell you, if you are not in an agreement with God, you are in agreement with those who are against him. There's no middle ground. You are either for or you are against. And as the word says, there is no lukewarm space that you are still not spit out. Right? We can't live on the fence. We can't keep one leg on each side to decide where I want to live today. As the word says, choose you this day who you will serve. Choose. And I know this is a strong word in this moment, but this is what God is speaking forth right now in this time. It is time for Christians to wake up. It is time for us to get up and walk in the authority and the dominion that God has given to us. And as my title says today, walk in your deliverance. Because each one of us, I'm reminded of the story when you go back to that Numbers, or Joshua, I mean, with Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. Immediately when you read that word, there's already a judgment that comes to your mind, right? Oh, prostitute. But you know what? God used that prostitute to save. And not only did he use her to save, he saved her. Mm-hmm. Because she took care of the spies. And if you go and you read through that in the book of Joshua, it talks about there how that her family was completely spared. And he told them, get all your family, all your children, get all of them in this house, and God will spare. And when those walls of Jericho fell, because God was going to fulfill his word, they were going to overtake that land. And the walls of Jericho fell that day, but yet her house remained. And what I really love about this, again, it's so important to read the scripture, because God just builds this huge picture in this puzzle. If you go back and you look in Matthew, the genealogy, did you know that Jesus Christ is in the genealogy of Rahab? Mm-hmm. Like, man, that is so cool. Like, you can't deny the truth of God's word. You know, there are people that try to debunk this thing over and over and over. You can't do it, man. Like, for thousands of years, it's told a story that's continued on and confirms itself in itself. Like, God has confirmed his word over and over and over and over. All you need to do is take that leap or that step of faith and say, you know what, God, I believe it. I believe the supernatural more than I believe the natural. Mm-hmm. And then start to ask for things. Start to ask for God to move in the supernatural ways. And just like I shared the testimony a while ago of stage 4 cancer being taken care of just like that. That's who God is. Mm-hmm. That's who God wants to be today. That's who God's always wanted to be. But what he's doing is he's calling a church that has lost sight of that, who has lost sight of the wondrous, miraculous, supernatural things of God. This is who I am because I've never changed. I am that same God all the way back to this story. I am the same God that will fulfill my will and my purpose. And now he's given us so much scripture after this story for us to stand on and say, this is who God is. And I will not let go of it. And I don't care who around you is bringing the bad report. If 83% of the people around you are bringing the bad report, don't be the one that lets go and comes into agreement with the bad report. Hold on to the truth of what God says. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, and I know I've been there before in my own life, sometimes the only agreement that you can find is this word of God right here. Because everyone else around you is bringing discouragement or complaining or bringing all those things. I know that sometimes you feel like you're in that place. Don't let go. Hold on. The Holy Spirit is your strength. He is the one. And this is what I love. When we go back to that Old Testament, it says that God came down and they seen him as the pillar of fire, right? They seen him as the pillar of cloud. But do you realize now into the new covenant, that the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, God himself, now lives inside of you? You carry him everywhere, everywhere that you go. They got to experience him on the outside. Mm. We get to walk with him on the inside. How much better a covenant do we walk in than what they got to share in? You know, like that's such an encouragement to me. And that's a moment where it's a moment by moment thing. It doesn't matter what comes at me, how it comes at me, when it comes at me. In this moment, I can ask for the help right now. Why? Because God's right here. He is not thousands, millions of miles away. He's right here. He's within me for those, again, who belong to Christ. So if you do not belong to Christ, my encouragement to you today, give your life away. Give your life to Him, because you're going to find a joy and a peace and things that you've never thought possible. Because I know right now in today's current condition, depression and fear and worry and anxiety and suicide, all of these things, they feel like they're the biggest thing. But I'm here to tell you they're not. They are not. There is hope beyond all of those things. And it is literally just a breath away of saying yes to Jesus. Yes. Invite Him into your heart. And I want to tell you, I'm just maybe a little bit unorthodox, but if there's somebody out there that wants to accept Jesus, that needs to accept Jesus, it doesn't take anything special. It doesn't take you calling a pastor or whatever. It just takes you a moment where you hit your knees in this moment and say, God, I need You. I see the truth of Your word, or I've heard it through someone else's voice. Maybe I don't even know the truth of Your word yet. But I see and I've heard a message and my heart is being drawn. So fall to your knees in this moment and say, God, I give my life to You. I accept Your Son Jesus and what He did on the cross for me. And I say yes. And then plug in to things like this, or a church, or find a pastor. Find somebody that you can start growing and learning in. Reach out on this text. Say, hey, guys, I just gave my life to Jesus. I need some resources. I swear these ladies will find somebody that will hook you up. Send them to me, whatever. I don't care. Like, if that is you today and you have found the hope in Christ that you did not have, and maybe in this moment you're one of those guys that thought you had found hope. Maybe you've been walking years and calling yourself Christian. But today the Holy Spirit is going, man, there's something that you've been missing. There's a truth that you haven't seen. But now I'm revealing that to you and you see that. And you're going to say yes to Christ today. Maybe that's you too. Because some people, they'll think, I've seen people who have thought they've been walking Christianity for years and years and years. And then they come to find out they've only been walking a religious system that it brought them to nothing in the end, to nothing. We see that story in the Pharisees and the Sadducees when Jesus showed up. Mm-hmm. He was calling them to life in Christ. He was literally there. The Old Testament had totally foretold of the Messiah coming. And when He was right there with them in the flesh, they could not see it because their focus had become so much on the ceremonies and traditions that they walked in a religious system. And we are just as guilty today in the American Christian Church. There are ways and people that are walking and they're looking to the traditions and the ceremonials as their relationship with God, and that ain't it. The word is clear. It says that He was not satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats. And the comparison there is that was the ceremony that they had to go through to walk through the atonement. Now through the new covenant, the atonement only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we accept that, we walk in the new covenant with Him. And yes, there are ceremonies and there are traditions, and those are okay as long as they are not elevated above the truth of the Word of God. Mm. Paul talks about that. It's not, your ceremonies aren't bad. You know, if you stand up two, sit down, sing one, stand up, that's okay. If you've got some order, if you've got some things to your service, but if the Holy Spirit says move or Holy Spirit says do this, do not let that agenda supersede what God is saying to do right now in this moment. Because if you do, you will miss things that God is going to do in your church, in your families, in the body of Christ all around you. And I even encourage other pastors today in that moment. I know as we go through our ceremonies and our traditions at church, sometimes we get so stuck in the rut of walking out those things that God wants to do something, and we'll set Him aside and say, wait a minute, we've got to stick to our agenda. We have one agenda, and that's God's agenda, right? So as an encouragement to you pastors, maybe this is a growth in some of those people that have been walking behind the pulpit. Let God move how God wants to move. Don't put limitations on God. Just like we see here, God doesn't tell you how He's going to do it. God doesn't always tell you when He's going to do it. But God will do things in your life as you just sit back and say, you know what, God? You can have this. You can do whatever you want to. And I know, just as a personal testimony, walking out our home group, I've been doing it for 10 years. And again, just in the humanity of who we are, oftentimes it's easy just to kind of fall into a rut of things and we start walking things out the same way. But God has been moving and doing things different in my home group that he's never done before. And what I've noticed is it's because my heart has come to a place where in my prayer time and speaking to him, I just say, God, you can do whatever you want to do. Even writing down, this is new for me. I don't do this. I always just read and I just preach for my overflow. But God is moving me a little bit because there's a lot of places that we need to go. There's truths of his words. There's nuggets in there that we can go and just and pull out. And again, even if I show you a nugget, go read around the nugget. Go read the scriptures. You need to see the context and the truth of that. Don't just grab a hold to one thing, because we can go in and pull out a scripture and I can make it sound like something it's not. I can do that. I won't do that. And I'm encouraging you guys, don't do that. Make sure that when you use a scripture, you know its context. You know what its meaning and what it says right there. And you can't do that by just reading one line. You have to go read around it and gather the context of the story. So I hope this has been encouraging to you guys today. As we see, there are two voices out there. Many voices, actually. Mm-hmm. But one is for the good and all the others are not. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. But that was silence. So as you guys see this, walk out your deliverance. Because what happened on the cross 2,000 years ago paid for that deliverance. And now you are to walk that thing out in the fullness, in the power, in the authority of all the things that Christ has given us. And that's a whole other teaching into that. But if you don't mind, I have my Rumble channel on there. If you guys, there are teachings that are posted every week. Some of these older ones, when you go in to look at the Holy Spirit and who he is in our life, it's in there. Go look at those titles. It's just a good way to be encouraged and be trained in the things of God and in the Word. If you're listening out there, we have a home group that meets on Wednesday nights. You're invited. Just hit us up on the chat here, and I'll get you that information if that's something that you're looking for. If you don't have a church home that you go to, or if you don't meet on Wednesday nights and you're just looking for a place to meet with other brothers and sisters to be encouraged and built up in the things of God, that's available. Those are things that God is doing through my life. So I just want to invite you guys to be a part of that if you're looking for it.
Amen. I want to take a second, if you don't mind.
You bet.